Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. We will continue our focus this week on how the styles and the principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker, author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion this evening is Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Hello, welcome to me.
Representing the business pillar is Vicky Arteaga. Welcome, Vicky.
It's good to be here. Laughing.
And I'm not quite sure about our educator this evening. She is busy with a school open house. So she thought she might call in, but she hasn't shown up yet. But we are delighted that you are here this evening to listen, or to listen when you have an opportunity to check this show out. We are talking about how the Omega leader gives authority. And before we jump in to unpack that heavy topic, who would like to share the definition of an Omega leader?
Everybody's pointing to the person next to them.
How about that, Linda?
I'll take it. An Omega leader is someone who incorporates the best of the Alpha authoritative and the Beta cooperative and combines them under the divine authority of God. So the Omega leader sometimes can be authoritative, sometimes can be cooperative, but in all she does, she is seeking the will of God.
Very good.
Thank you.
So, Lori, we are looking at this question that kind of to jumpstart our show. How much authority do you give your staff members? That's straight out of the book. Tell us about that. I mean, when you were writing this chapter, kind of unpack it for us. What were you hearing?
Well, authority is very much on my mind today. Because of a personal situation, my mother is home from rehab, and she has fallen and has a hairline fracture on her hip and her femur, and so now she needs 24-hour care. And at this particular point in time, my brother's going to be with her. I cannot be with her because of the book release coming out, and I just learned that there's someone that I deeply trust who is willing to go do the night shift for my mother, which is the critical time. And just knowing that this person would sit in for me with my mother and have the authority to care for her, it's like a huge boulder has been lifted off of my shoulder. So I'm looking at it from a person who needs something done that is so dear to my heart and needs to transfer that authority because I physically cannot be there. And so having a faithful worker step into that is such a relief for the leader. It's not only a matter of sharing power, it's an emotional release for a leader to know that when something needs to be done, that person is going to do it and has the authority to act on your behalf. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he gave us authority, that you know, you have the power to act in my absence with my name. And we were talking in the pre-show about some different authority situations that I've seen lately. One is where I'm working with a group and one of the leaders delegates authority wrongly because there's something that he doesn't like to do, and so he hands it off to this other person to do. And the other person invariably flubs it. But when he flubs it, then the board and everybody else can get mad at this person instead of the true leader who should have taken that shot, should have taken that hit, should have taken that call. And so there's a kind of a passive-aggressive, mm-hmm. You know, there's two sides of transferring authority, and one is laying blame or pushing someone out there to take the heat when you're the one that's supposed to take the heat. And and then the other thing in the opening of the chapter, I was reading about, you know, I've seen groups of people that meet and spend hours and days meeting on projects and nobody gets anything done because nobody has the authority. And, you know, I wrote Jesus CEO almost 13 years ago, 14 years ago, and now, just 2 months ago, I was in a meeting where, it was a two-day strategy session, and nobody had any power to do anything. And then they allocated an hour for committee meetings, and then at the end of the committee meetings, I looked at the minutes, and there was no action required or taken. And all these people flew in from all over the country, yet they had no authority, but somebody wanted the meeting to happen because that's the way it's governed, but nobody had authority, so it's just kicking the can down the road. You know, so that's what I'm thinking about. Those are my three thoughts on authority right now.
Well, we also have a colleague joining us, Alisa Holston, representing the education pillar. Are you with us, Alisa?
I am, and so true, the education pillar. I'm fresh off the heels of open house, but I'm glad to be here with you tonight.
Wow, that's leadership. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us and moving with authority to this call. We appreciate it.
I had to delegate some authority in order to get to this call, but, hey, it's all good.
Great.
We were joking about that. Hey, what about the delegation?
I know. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because actually what detained me was a delegation gone bad. And so I guess one of my questions would be, how does one, when one delegates authority, how does one put ensure that the person, A, wants the responsibility and the authority? Because I guess my experience sometimes has been they think they want it, but really when they dig down a little deeper and realize what it really is, then no thank you, or I'm overwhelmed or I'm frustrated. And obviously, as an Omega leader, I want to support that person. But what advice do you have in terms of setting those boundaries, or how to communicate what a responsibility could become so that that person doesn't end up being a situation of tension or negativity?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Well,
great question.
And I think it comes from
I'm living it right now.
Yeah. You know, knowing the team member, knowing their mission, knowing their element. You know, if Wynn steps up and says, I'll do it, you should always immediately be suspect. I'm just kidding here.
Whatever, Wendy.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, leadership is about turning something over and standing back and being and verifying that it was done. So, you know, you have to be able to have the to come back and check. I think Reagan said something in Russia. It was like, you know,
trust but verify,
and that's really a leadership motto. And it is tough when people collapse under the true burden of responsibility, and it happens all the time. So. You're not alone.
Great advice. Trust but verify. Very good advice.
Yeah, and I was talking to you a little bit before about this professor. Today, for some reason, I had to go back and check on my records and all that. And from the university, my university years, long time ago, I came across some documents of one of the teachers that was my mentor. And, you know, he was a person that delegates authority in such a way that set you for success and not for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that he did it is he spent a lot of time with you first to know your strong points and your opportunity areas. And then he pointed the strong points first. And he said, you're very good at this, I'm very good at that, I'm very good at that. And he started, like, visualizing with you how could he use your talents for specific things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like preparing you for the, you know, you could teach. I remember when I was a student, and he said, you could be a teacher. You could be a teacher because you presented, I had a presentation, I had to present to the group at the theme. And he said, you have good didactic or good technique, so you could be a teacher in the future. So that stuck in my mind. So, I don't know, 4 years later, I was teaching at the university.
So he cast a prophecy for you, too.
Yeah, but he didn't say it and then disappear.
Right.
He said that, and then he started, like, putting milestones, and he put me under his wing. We had, like, we were, like, five students that hung out with him a lot. And he took us to different seminars or just the presentation. So, or we happened to be with him when he made decisions. He was the coordinator of the political science faculty. And it was so interesting just to hang out with him, or just to be in the same room, just noticing the kind of decisions that he made, when did he make them, and if we didn't understand why, later on he find an opportunity to say, did you notice what happened at the office? Well, I did this because of this, or what do you think? Why do you think I did it? He has a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's the training and the mentoring. What a great example.
I was wondering what the elements, like you mentioned the elements, and they, if this particular person happens to be a fire. I don't remember fire what, but happens to be a fire. But I was wondering, I noticed that with my team, certain elements grab on and they run with that delegation, that responsibility, and they own it and they internalize it, and the mission becomes theirs. And other people are less, well, appear, let me say, it's not fair to judge, but appear kind of less engaged and less committed in that venture. Is there any correlation with the elements in that? Is that maybe more aligned with maybe just what their missions are? What insight might you have on that in terms of who to delegate to and how to know who to delegate to?
Well, sometimes the fires will take something on for the status.
Okay.
And the waters might not be so quick to volunteer, neither are the earth. They're not the hand raisers of the elements. You know, pick me, pick me.
Pick me, pick me, that's Vicky.
Yeah. But sometimes it's knowing how they approach things. You know, their pacing is different. So if you say, I need this done right now, you're probably not going to get the waters on earth to say, I'll do it, I'll do it. But if you're measured and you're strategic and you're thinking about it and present it in a way that gives them reflection time and processing time, they might indeed be the best persons for the job.
Okay.
So some of it, I think, is how it's presented, what the task is, how much time they have with it. And the truth is that some people are just worker bees and some people are wannabes, you know. And
what about with the winds? You kind of jokingly said, you know, the winds might volunteer. But so what? How can one help and support winds when they step up or have potential, like Vicky's talking about this prophecy that her professor had, and Vicky is a wind, right? So
right. How
can one keep that wind on path?
Well, make sure that they're not alone. Don't send a wind off to do a task alone, generally, because they're going to flag when someone's not watching.
Okay.
But it's that constant encouragement. You know, we talk about Moses with Joshua. When Joshua was fighting the battle, he was winning as long as Moses had his hands up in the air. And then when Moses' hands drooped, Joshua started losing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually brought in two people to keep Moses' hands propped up. And I think Joshua was a wind fire, so, you know, he needed to see someone on the hill saying, attaboy, attaboy, I'm watching you. You know, he needed those people in the stands. That's very much a wind and a wind fire need.
It's a great insight.
Yeah, for authority giving.
Well, so authority, giving authority or granting authority requires a process of some sort.
Yes.
And some kind of checklist against how you're measuring and releasing people. If we think of it in one of our resources called the four elements matrix,
right?
Not so much the personality type of each person, but if you're looking at it from, you know, the excite, ground, transform, and release process that we teach, then, you know, maybe that's how we can, as Omega leaders, help individuals, or could it be a way that authority is realized? I'm thinking of a few people, based on their element, who should have been able to run with some projects, right?
Right.
But they got partway through it and said, as you indicated, Elisa, there's a feeling of overwhelm, too much. It's not what I thought. And, you know, looking back and kind of walking forward now to this point, I'm like, you know, what went wrong? You know, did I excite them? You know, were they excited about this project? And, you know, did I ground them enough in understanding that, you know, these are the things that are going to be required, like we've heard you say, you know, come follow me. What's it going to cost? Well, everything. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Kill
yeah.
it in your first war. did I release them? So really, before authority, right? Before authority, or transform them. So before the authority, before that release kicks in, there's some excitement, grounding, and transforming that has to happen
right.
with individuals. And I think
yeah.
you know, you can speak to us for a few minutes about that process because
yeah.
it's very profound in one of your other books, Teach Your King to Fish, and it's showing up in the Four Elements process as well. But it's a very interesting matrix, if you want to talk about that.
Well, Shelley, you spoke about that so beautifully, and we're really finding this tool to be so simple and so profound because it's also a diagnostic tool. So let me be wind and jump ahead for a second, and then I'll come backwards. So if you have someone who is, talk about micromanagement, and that's a big complaint of teams, and the fires will excite them about it, but they won't release them to do it. So then you ask the fires, why didn't you release them to do it? And they say, because they're not ready.
Yeah.
Well, what are they not ready with? It's the grounding. They have not been grounded enough. And the fires instinctively know that, but they can't put their finger on it, so they micromanage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't been grounded enough. Now, sometimes it's another level or another layer where the fires are not grounded enough in their mission and their gifts, and they're trying to hang on to something because they're afraid of the next step for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Because if they, as long as they get to stay where they are, and I'm thinking of in the Postcards for Leadership, that little boat, I saw a kayak on the shores of La Jolla and took a picture of it, and there was a little girl, and the kayak was stranded on a seaweed bed of kelp on the shore, and this little girl had an oar, and she was trying to lift the kayak into the water, but the water, the shoreline was, you know, another 10 feet away, yeah. And then there were two little boys that there was a purple plastic tube that went under the kayak and out the other side onto the shore, and these two little boys were very carefully pouring water into this plastic tube, which had nothing to do with getting the kayak into the water, but it was keeping them very busy and was obviously a cool technology. And the older boy, who I guess was in charge of this venture, I had watched him, and he had been digging sand and putting it in the boat.
He was
he
fine.
Was the leader. And then, as I watched this whole thing take place, he then, as soon as he had dumped a bunch of sand into the boat, there was one guy that was trying to then shovel the sand out of the boat. The oldest boy then sat in the bow of the kayak and watched the whole process. And I thought, if this isn't a picture of teamwork, I don't know what is, because his total desire was to keep that boat where it was.
Right.
And as long as the team looked busy, he was okay with it. And when he thought they might be making progress, he actually poured sand into it. So, so sometimes I think that, have you seen leadership like that? Where they say they want to move forward, but they really don't.
Right.
So that's another layer of looking at the matrix, is why aren't the fires willing to delegate? Because if they delegated, it would mean they would have to step up to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, yeah, or not feel as needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So going back to your diagram, is there any other element that, for example, the Omega leaders that are earth or water, how do you see them delegating or delegating authority?
Well, water will delegate easily as long as there's a relationship, or I'm thinking of the word porous or something, they will take on tasks, but they'll take on the responsibility but not necessarily take on the action of it because they're not called to action. So they think just by showing up they're doing their part. So the waters, I think, have a hard time delegating.
Yeah.
Is that true? Don't you think?
Wish I were a water so I could take offense at that, but I'm not a water, so I can't.
Well, just think about water. You know, it only acts when it's acted upon.
That's very true.
So the other element, which one?
Earth?
The earth. The earth will take territory. The earth will take authority. But it's going to need the support of a fire to take action.
Right.
The earth the weight of the responsibility, but it may not know exactly what's the next focused task to take.
Delegate.
And
so
how does the
earth
delegate?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be hard for an earth to delegate.
That's what I was thinking. Probably the earth is thinking that nobody else can do it
right
the way he or she needs it.
Exactly.
I must be more earth than everybody thinks.
You are?
I must be. That would be me. I don't delegate because I don't think anybody can do it as well as I could do it.
Also a fire trait.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah. I mean, just on our team, I had a project, and to me it was so clear, so I sent an email to the earth on our team, and I said, okay, just make this happen. And I gave her, I thought, you know, at least two sentences of instruction. And so she fired back, and she goes,
That's plenty.
I know. What do you mean here? And I had to translate it to Shelley to get it to her. And to me, it was like, this is the goal. These are the pieces. I'm sure you can figure it out.
Yeah. See you at the...
See you at the finish line. And she was like, I need a little more instruction. So that's how the wind delegates, is sometimes by just dumping.
Yeah.
Right. And so as I kind of listen to this, there's a piece of me that... that all of us, I think, believes is that when we are talking about releasing authority, whether it's financial, spiritual, relational, emotional, you know, whatever that authority is attached to, it's not always going to be elemental. It's not always going to be based on that person's temperament. But we all believe that a huge part of the way that we respond and react is based on our hardwiring.
Right.
So that's why we spend on these shows, on these spots, talking about the Omega Leader Style. That's why we spend a lot of time talking about this. But I think one of the things that we're learning inside teams and organizations is it's one thing to understand your elemental makeup, right? It's another thing to look at a matrix like, Lori, that you've just drawn on the page and determine how to release people or what's required
right.
to ground this team.
Right.
That's a whole different level. And I wonder if authority, if it wouldn't be easier to grant authority if we used
right.
something like this.
A tutu.
Because if I'm going to release you, give you the authority to create girl band worship list songs, then...
Talking to me?
As I'm talking to Vicky. Then I needed to have just a little bit of input into, here's some of my suggestions, here's my songs. Or maybe I need to spend time and see if you really even know how to put the list together,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that might
Do you know how to type? Can you turn off the computer?
So sometimes we just assume.
I think
right?
you're making fun of me and I'm not realizing it.
So, Lori, I don't know. You may want
well,
to see.
Well, it would be good to have a mental, you know, we call it the elemental decision matrix. It has different names in my head. One is the Genesis generator, how you move an idea into reality. Do a mental checklist. Okay, so if I want this person to do that, make a list. The earth part is, what are all the details she's going to need to know? You know, we need 3-minute songs in over a 12-week period.
Mm-hmm.
Worship, upbeat, up-tempo, whatever. Those are the earth, all the details. The relationship is, if she's a win, she's going to need time with me. She's going to want
mm-hmm.
to talk about this over a cappuccino
mm-hmm.
or something like that, not through a text
mm-hmm.
or an email. And then, so that's the water. And then the fire is, these are the specific tasks with a deadline. We need it by such and such. And then the wind is, and I can't wait to see what, with enthusiasm, you know, I can't
mm-hmm.
wait to see what you come up with. And
and
I'm here if you need me. So if I've done that mental checklist, knowing she's a wind, then I can feel good that I've done the best that I can to go through the quadrants.
Exactly.
To
mm-hmm.
make sure that she succeeds.
Exactly.
And is that what you call grounded? So how do you, can you explain a little bit more what does that mean?
Grounded means the rooted in fact and reality and details and structure. So that something, there has to be some structure or detail in the quadrant in order for it to generate growth.
Mm-hmm.
if there's no structure, no detail, no roots, no foundation, it's just going to be hot air.
Right. So if you give authority to a wind and ask them to move into that earth quadrant of grounding, it could be very, very challenging. It doesn't mean that a wind type could not get grounded, because we know lots of winds that are grounded, right? Or can supply a measure of groundedness. But it is, I believe that when we either delegate or give authority, we personally have not counted the cost that it will require that person to become grounded mm-hmm. for a space of time. So then they throw up their hands and say, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking of Shelley as an example of leadership. You know, we work, how many trainers do we have now? 300?
A lot.
And so we have a virtual office, and Shelley has recently released groups of the team members, none of whom are on salary, to come up with clusters of excellence. But she spent months and months of an hour with each person individually. For how long did you do that?
Almost a year.
Yes. Knowing them and grounding them. And now that she has released them, because most of them are winds anyway, it's just amazing what they're coming back with and the enthusiasm. And they love being released. But I believe the success of that is because you heavily invested in the grounding
mm-hmm.
of the relationship. That's a lot of time, an hour a week with a person. It's
yeah.
a lot of time to pour
yeah.
into people like
sure.
your professor did.
Yeah, exactly. And it says something on the part, as you were saying, Elisa, on the part of the team. So your team, your educators, you spend a lot of time with those people. You practically live with those people on a weekly basis, right?
Correct.
And so they get to know your leadership style, and you get to know, you get to know their ability too. So I think sometimes, and I know we've had a radio show around this, is that, the Omega leader knows her people, right?
Sure. Yes.
So I think that's a big part of this too.
And I think also another element could be to, let's say that we do have a company, and today we have a new employee. You're not going to delegate authority to that employee on the first day.
Unless it's a military situation or a hospital situation. Many times it's like, in wartime, the leader falls, and then the next person in line becomes the leader. So, but they have spent a lot of time in training before
yeah.
they're thrown
mm-hmm.
into that, or, an emergency room physician. Years and years and years of training, assuming that they could show up in any emergency room and function and know what to do. So
we got just 1 minute. You got a burning thought over there, Lisa?
I think that's true, but I think that going back to what you're saying about the hard wiring, I think that sometimes, obviously, there's adjustment and there's getting to know, and you need to really know a person. I think that's all very insightful and establish relationship. But in spite of that, I think sometimes really it comes down to elements, it comes down to mission, it comes down to all that hard wiring of whether or not that person is really in a position to be the next in line to take authority. It's not necessarily a matter of the amount of time you spent in the line, because some people in the line a very long time, it's just not their thing. And some people have been in the line 2 days, and it's their thing, and they can run with it, and they can fly with it.
Right. And that's the leader's task, is to identify the giftedness in people.
Yeah.
I think has to do with gifting, and we talked about this last week, that the leader's job is not only to find the gold in the hills, but to find the gold in the people.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
To refine it
mm-hmm.
and to challenge it and to shape it into being and to... delegating authority is a huge responsibility, and you need to make sure the people are ready, and you need to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so powerful that God has given us authority, and I don't think we have stepped into it nearly enough, as often enough as we need to, and I'm speaking for myself too.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. We're almost out of time this evening on this topic. Thank you, Lori, Beth, and Elisa for for sharing this evening. And next week we will have a short break, but we will be back with you the following Thursday to begin an introduction on Lori's new book, Jesus Career Counselor. So we'll be back to you shortly. Have a good evening.